With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joined on the phone now by AJ Hawk, former Green Bay Packer linebacker, Super Bowl champion, and also 2002 BCS national champion at Ohio State. AJ Hawk joins us on TK and Tierney. How you doing, AJ?
I'm doing well. Does that BCS national championship count anymore, TK? Now that the football playoffs?
I don't know either. Let me ask you this, man. Would you want to see the let me back up before I get to the expansion question about college football, the playoff system. Did you like your bowl games experience, other than the one where you won the national championship against Miami in 03? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I was lucky. I mean, I played in the Fiesta Bowl 3 times, and I played in the Alamo Bowl my junior year. And the Fiesta Bowl is amazing. I mean, they treat you right, and it seemed like a big-time game every time we were there. So I definitely I loved it. But now, obviously, with the college football playoff system, it's like what everything else just kind of goes – under the radar now, if you're not in the top four.
And that's my point, right? The Fiesta Bowl, I went to the Peach Bowl, which was awesome. It was in Atlanta. I went to the CarQuest Bowl. It was down in Miami. I was like, this is amazing. We're in Miami, man. And I'm not complaining for the national championship. I'm just enjoying my time. It feels like these bowl games anymore don't mean anything. And I wonder if expanding the playoff makes bowl games, at least some of them, mean something again. Do you agree?
Yeah, a little bit. I do. So I know this has been going on for a while. Like, what do you do? Do you expand what you do? How many teams? And I always said, I guess like a year ago this time, I said, yeah, I mean, it would be cool if they could expand it and make more of these games, I guess, have more on the line. But yeah. The one thing I always say, like, what does that look like? Like, how do you expand it? The one that I actually, kind of the model that I think could possibly work is if you went to 8 teams, then the top four have a home game, and you move on from there. Yeah, that'd be cool, but it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, 9, 10, 11, they're all going to be mad once you expand to 8. So it's like, is that the fairest model? Maybe. I don't know, but life's not fair. I got 4 kids. I have to tell them that every day.
Yeah, I hear you. AJ Hawk, who is the host of the Hawkcast, his own podcast. You can find it wherever podcasts are produced and distributed, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. I have 6 kids, so I got to do the same thing, AJ. When AJ gets this and Brooklyn doesn't get that, hey, life's not fair, man. You got to fight for it. Let me talk about your former NFL team, the Green Bay Packers. And there's been drama, I guess is the best way to put it, over the last few weeks. Mike McCarthy drafted you in 06. I think it was his first draft as head coach. What do you think about him as a head man? And do you think he was treated unfairly by media, by Aaron, by the Packers, who fired a coach for the first time in their history midseason?
Yeah, when it came out, the timing was definitely a bit surprising to me. And I spent 9 years in Green Bay, and they're first class from top to bottom. So it was a little bit weird when I thought of the timing, and Mark Murphy, the president, decided to let him go during the season. And yeah, at first you think, wow, man, that's kind of disrespectful for a guy that's done so much for the organization, what Mike McCarthy has done. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's best for both sides. If Mike knew the writing was on the wall and he wasn't going to be the head coach next year for the Packers, why let him be the lame duck coach and coach the rest of the season and then let him go? How about you just – maybe it's better for both sides. The Packers can start their search, and also McCarthy is like – he's like one of the first free agents on the market now, and bam, he's out there, and it seems like there's plenty of teams that come calling for him and want him to be their head guy.
Yeah, no, I think that he's not going to want for a job. He's going to find one pretty quickly. But let me ask you this then, because it was reported that he and Aaron Rodgers had – differences. How hard is it to be the head coach to one of the great quarterbacks in our time?
Well, I guess it's when you say it's a good problem to have, I guess, yeah. When you're like, okay, this guy is one of the best ever. But I think a lot of the relationship is overblown. I mean, McCarthy is an authentic dude that is, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's an emotional guy that guys love to fight for him. You know that he's gonna stand up for his team. And I think Aaron's the same kind of guy. You know, they're both alpha guys. that aren't scared to speak their mind. And McCarthy would tell us all the time, conflict is good. Like, he would never run from conflict. He wanted to, if he felt like something was being swept under the rug, he absolutely would not let it fester. He wants to put it out there and take care of it right now in front of the whole team. He's not scared to do that. So I think a lot of it's overblown. Honestly, it's a lot of just normal competitive stuff. I mean, you know, like, there's times during games going way back to middle school and high school where I would, and I was usually a pretty quiet guy, when you'd go at it with a coach, your position coach, whoever it may be, and obviously it's not super public back then, but then after the game, you're laughing about it and you're hugging in the locker room. Like, stuff happens, and I think people just love to, as time goes, you know, when you lose games, they're gonna dig and try to find every single little thing that is a problem and make it a big deal.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it's unfair. I mean, I even said this last week or a couple weeks ago. Aaron Rodgers is almost like a coach killer here. He got Mike McCarthy fired. Is that fair to Aaron? How is he as a leader? Because it's coming into question, even though it shouldn't.
No, I think that's definitely unfair to Aaron to say he got McCarthy fired. I mean, come on, like that's a joke. Aaron is so good; he's unbelievable what he can do. And during my time there, I know as a defense, we definitely let him down. We only won one Super Bowl during my time, and I felt like we should have been in the mix for many, many more. And a lot of times we just couldn't hold up our end of the bargain as a defense. And, you know, you just have to be a serviceable defense with how great Aaron is in that offense.
That's a good point.
I do think it's unfair if people try to say he got McCarthy fired. I mean, I think they have a good relationship. They've talked even since the firing. I think they're going to be good friends for a long, long time. And I'm curious where McCarthy goes. They're floating his name out there. And I'm curious about that. The New York media, great. I think it'd be awesome. It'd be a huge change from Green Bay to New York. But I think he would love it. He would love how upfront and open and honest they are.
Yeah, no, he's calm enough to deal with the nonsense that comes from the New York media. We're talking to A.J. Hawk, Super Bowl champion. The questionable, we're still debating whether or not it's still valid. BCS national champion at Ohio State. Let me ask you about the division, because, I mean, for the first time in a long time, it's not the Packers sitting on top. It's the Chicago Bears, and they've done it with this unbelievable front seven on the defensive side of the ball, obviously led by Khalil Mack. But you've watched a lot of football, and you've watched it evolve like I have, AJ. Does defense matter anymore?
Not nearly like it used to, I guess. But I guess Chicago is trying to show us that it does. I mean, I think Trubisky has played well. Matt Nagy has done wonders for that offense. He's very creative. It's like the new, just another guy in line of these up-and-coming offensive play callers that can really get people in space and throw some deception at you and get you playing on your heels as a defense. But I think their defense, with what they've done, they're just so consistent. Like, you see some defenses every once in a while for a couple. They'll go on a 2 or 3 week run where they will make a lot of plays and they can kind of take over a game, but then you're going to eventually be exposed. I don't feel like the Chicago defense has been exposed, and when you're trying to game plan against them, there's just so many different ways they can hurt you. And obviously Khalil Mack showed in the first game he strapped the Bears uniform on when they that heartbreaker in Green Bay, that he can single-handedly take over a game, and there's not many guys like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. When you were on a middle school and then going into high school, were you always a linebacker or you were a safety? Were you a big safety? Because you were an athlete. Were you always an LB?
Well, TK, I hate to tell you, I thought I was a running back in my brain if you talk to me. So I always grew up playing both ways and played football, baseball, and basketball. Loved playing point guard. But as I got older, 7th, 8th grade, I'm thinking, okay, well, if I want a scholarship, I don't think they're giving a 6-foot dude a scholarship to play point guard with my jumper. I know that's not the case. I would just drive and dudes would take charges and I'd get mad. So I got sick of basketball as I got bigger and started lifting more. But no, I would play linebacker and running back. And then the great thing was when I was in probably middle school, every once in a while when there'd be it just seemed like everything was all muddled, I would back up and they'd let me play safety. I loved it. I loved having that vision from back there. So actually I used that throughout my whole career, where if I was having issues kind of seeing things, getting caught up in all the mush, I would just take a half a step to a step back. You know, that difference between playing at 5 and 6 yards is a huge deal for your vision.
Yeah, and I'm glad that's you did that, because it leads me to a question that I see and it frustrates the heck out of me. A lot of defenses or defensive coordinators feel like they don't need to substitute. They're like, oh, we got linebackers that can cover. No, you can't. You can't cover Tariq Cohen coming out of the backfield. You know what I mean? You can't cover Saquon Barkley coming out of the backfield. As these, we talked about it earlier, the evolution of offenses. Linebackers necessarily are going to have to evolve. They got to be big enough to be stout in the hole, but also they got to cover. And not too many teams don't have enough guys that have the background like you have, like Brian Urlacher had, to be perfectly honest with you. Does that need to change in the National Football League as offenses have started to shift towards this wide-open style?
Yeah, I think it is changing, and we're definitely going to see it even the next probably 4 or 5 years change even more to where – so when I came out, I got drafted in, what, 06?
Yeah.
I was 248 pounds at the combine. I was like, all right, I got to get big. I got to make sure that I'm – I was chugging water before I got on the scale at the combine. I'm like, these dudes need to – I need to be able to bang. And they're running lead week at me all day long, my first training camp. So I had to deal with that. And then you fast forward my 11th season, I left the league at 235 pounds, and I probably played at 235 my last 5 or 6 years. So I saw how everything was changing, and though, like, you can't – you don't need those big old bangers playing 2-3 yards off the ball like that. Those, that's not around anymore.
Yeah.
So guys coming out now, you got to be able to run, and you have to be, you got to be able to stick your head in there and make plays, no question. But it's much more important to be able to play in space.
AJ, I loved it. Great time chatting with you. All your four kids, any of them ballers?
My oldest is my daughter's 8. Yeah, she's pretty legit soccer player. But then I have 3 boys below her, and yeah, they're trying, man. I support them. They love it, and they love watching football on TV, and they play everything. So we'll see. I got 3 big-time meatheads that I'm raising. So who knows if any of them are going to evolve and take to the next step. But they love to stick their head in there and try to make it dirty.
Hey, I love that. As my coach used to say, PE majors coaching PE majors. AJ, we'll have you on again. This was informative and fun. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Be good. AJ Hawk, host of the Hawkcast, his own podcast. You can find it wherever podcasts are available.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.